Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's changed again. We've got blue sky and sunshine now. It was the middle of winter when I arrived, not that long ago. Most of the intimations are printed. I just want to highlight one or two, as well as celebrating Holy Communion this morning. We will also be celebrating again at 3 o'clock this afternoon in Bank Hall. And anyone is welcome to come to that. It's not only the folk who live in Tinto View. Tomorrow, the first meeting of the Guild will be held at 7 o'clock in the small hall, and the speaker is Helen Morrison on the subject Scottish Album. A week on Wednesday, we're having our ecumenical songs of praise for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. You might remember that we did this in here a year past October, I think it was, and it was a really good night. Members of Auchengray Church, members of St. Mary Magdalene, the Catholic Church, and several others all joined together, and individuals chose a hymn and spoke about it. So we thought this year we would do the same again, but during the week of prayer for Christian Unity, because that's what it's all about. And this year we're holding it in St. Mary Magdalene's Church. So plans are a little bit behindhand, and that's mostly my fault. But I would ask, if you would like to choose a hymn and speak about it, please let me know by Wednesday at the latest, because we need to let the organist at the Catholic Church know so that she has time to make sure she's got the music and is prepared for playing. So please get choosing your hymns as quickly as possible. And if you're prepared to speak about them, that's great. If you're not, then somebody else can speak about them. But it promises to be a lovely evening, starting at 7 o'clock with a cup of tea. And then the music will start at 7:20. I think all the other intimations are there. Oh no, this Wednesday, Kirk Session. So please remember all elders, we have our Kirk Session meeting. And minutes are all in our boxes at the back. We're here to worship God together. God is love. We are all God's beloved children. We can only love one another because He first loved us. And His love is a perfect love which drives out fear. So we need not be afraid of anything. And He sees every one of us as gorgeous. Our psalm for this morning really emphasizes the power of God. But let's remember that despite the immensity of that power, it is all love. So some verses from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people. Peace. Amen. And our first hymn is a wonderfully well-known one, number 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Hymn 132.
Thank you.
have noticed that the youngsters are not with us this morning. It was felt that most of them are still too young to really understand about communion, so they're enjoying their own lessons. As usual, when the children are not in, I've got a story for you, but it's a bit different today. Our Bible reading, which Jean will be reading for us later on, is from the book of Acts, and it's Peter's sermon to the Gentiles. And as I was preparing for the day, I thought, it really doesn't make sense unless you know what came before. So that's what I'm going to do. It's an amazing story about Cornelius and Peter and about how God can communicate with people. So let's just listen to Acts 10, verses 1 to 33. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey, Peter, in Joppa, went up onto the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." "Surely not," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the first part of the story joins us. The men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that we could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, they arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." And the next bit of the story, Jean will read for us at our normal time for our Bible reading. This is one of the readings from the Bible that speaks to me of our need to become more open and inclusive. "Do not call anyone unclean or impure that God has made." I watched a lovely 3-part documentary on TV called The Pilgrimage, some of you may have seen it as well, about a group of celebrities walking to Rome. Well, they walked part of the way. And amazingly, at the end of their pilgrimage, they were invited for an audience with the Pope. And one of them was a comedian, I forget his name, but he's a gay man and had been really troubled about whether he was accepted by any church or by God. So in the audience with the Pope, questions were welcomed. And this man said, in a very polite and gentle way, he asked the Pope, "As a gay man, do I belong?" And what the Pope said, I thought, was so powerful. He said, giving more importance to the adjective rather than the noun is not good. He went on to say that every human being is made by God and deserves respect because they're a human being, regardless of the adjective. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we thank you for the stories that we read, especially those in the Bible. We thank you for this amazing story of Cornelius and Peter, who were both open enough to listen to your voice and then to obey it, even when it seemed to ask them to do what was against all their normal rules. Lord, help us all to be open, to listen to you and to obey, and to love one another, those who are just like us and those who are different, to love them all as we are loved and as we love you. And let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, today is all about the baptism of Jesus, and our next hymn is a beautiful hymn that tells the story of Jesus' baptism, and I realize it's new to most of us, so Audrey is going to play the tune through for us, and then we'll have a go at singing it. It's very straightforward. If you're not confident in singing, just read the words and join in once you're comfortable. As we come before God in prayer, I'm actually using the words of hymn 591, another beautiful one about the Spirit. And I think Laura Jane might put the words on the screen for anyone who wants to read them as I say them. Let us pray. O holy dove of God descending, you are the love that knows no ending. All of our shattered dreams you're mending. Spirit, now live in us. O holy wind of God now blowing, bearing seed that God is sowing. You are the life that starts us growing. Spirit, now live in us. O holy flame of God now burning, you are the power of Christ returning. You are the answer to our yearning. Spirit, now live in us. Amen. And my apologies to the author of the hymn for changing me to us. We now come to our Bible reading, so we're going to hear that sermon that Peter preached.
It's from Acts 10, reading verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And the gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 3, reading verses 13 to 17, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. After a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. Thank you, Jean. Our hymn before the sermon is hymn 600, Spirit of God Unseen as the Wind, hymn 600. Let's come before God in prayer. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Jesus' baptism. It was a long time ago in a Galilee far, far away. Oh, we've got one or two Star Wars fans in. That Jesus joined the queue, just one among many of those seeking to be baptized by John. John's baptism was a baptism with water, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So we might ask, did Jesus need that? And we could equally ask, do any of the babies that we baptize here in church have any sins to repent of and be baptized? And of course the answer is no. Wee Arthur, who's always got a smile for us, who was the last baby we baptized, he never had anything to repent of. So three things happen in baptism, both at Jesus' baptism and of the babies, children, and adults that we baptize here. The first is that their identity is affirmed. Who Jesus was became clear both to himself, and it may well be that he knew that already, but also to the people around. When that voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And I believe that whenever we baptize a child, baby, or adult here in church, if we listened really hard, we might hear that same voice saying the same thing. "This is my child. I love them. I am well pleased with them." And of course, their identity is also affirmed as we name them. My spiritual guide, who is now in her 80s, told me of an experience she had on her very first retreat. And this is her words. "I heard God say to me through this passage, 'You too are my beloved child. My heart delights in you.' It was a turning point in my spiritual journey, a time of awakening, exciting, exhilarating, challenging, heartwarming, life-changing. And Aileen helped me to experience that as well. Today, so many of our young and not so young people struggle with identity. The desire to look perfect at all times, to wear the right fake tan. Most of us in church are really concerned about that, aren't we? The right makeup, the right clothes, the right footwear, to carry the right bag, seems to be more important for many than what is in our hearts. I know myself that I still need to be reminded every day that I am God's beloved child, that he is pleased with me, and I long to share that with everyone. The second thing that happens at baptism is empowerment with the Spirit. The Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And then Peter told us about that in his sermon when he wrote, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power." So that clearly happened with Jesus, but does it happen when we baptize here in church? Certainly not visibly, but I do believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to every person, whether at baptism or at another time. And it's like a tiny seed, which, given the right conditions, can grow and flourish. And then the third thing is that Jesus was sent out to begin his life's mission. It was after his baptism that Jesus' ministry began, that he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. When we baptize a child or an adult in church, it's part of a public worship service. And I always ask both the parents and the whole congregation to make promises. The parents in particular to promise to teach the child the truths and duties of the Christian faith. And the congregation and the parents to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way, and to share with them the knowledge and love of Christ. So it's important that it's part of a community that this happens. It's important because baptism signals the kingdom of God. Baptism confirms the identity of the church, which is all of us together, the body of Christ, in participation in God's mission to the world, the Missio Dei. Baptism marks the inclusion of one more person into the church, the body of Christ in the world. But we must remember the order in which things happen. God declared his love of Jesus and was well pleased with him before he had done anything. Mission arises out of God's love through the gift of the Spirit. Mission is the result, not the cause, of God's love for us. And as Peter said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. It's all about the inclusivity of us. Amen. Holy Communion, like baptism, is a sacrament described as a visible sign of invisible grace. All are welcome at the table to taste and see just how much God loves us. But just before we come to communion, let's continue our worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Loving, living God, for all your goodness towards us, all your many gifts, and for the gifts of today's prayer, we give you our thanks. And yet, as we approach communion and remember the greatest gift ever given, that you, Lord Jesus, gave up your life for us, how can we find a way to say thank you? And yet you do not give as the world gives. So maybe you don't expect us to say thank you, but like that 1 out of 10 lepers who did, you are delighted when we do choose to turn and say thank you to you. Lord, these offerings on the table are one of our ways of saying thank you to you. So we ask you now to receive them. Receive the grateful hearts which gave them, and use them along with our worship, our prayers, and our lives to spread the good news of Jesus here and forth and throughout the world. Amen. Our next hymn is not in the hymn books. It was only written last year by, I think he's another minister, John Stewart, and we've sung it before. It's very beautiful, sung to the tune Benessen, which is normally what we sing Morning Has Broken to. This is my body broken among you. There are printed sheets at the back for anyone who can't read the screen. Please sit down. There are a couple of responses during the communion liturgy which are printed on the order of service for you. The liturgy I'm using today is adapted from one written by Nick Fawcett. The table is prepared. The meal is ready. Jesus is here. He offers us bread, food for the soul, nourishing, nurturing. He offers us wine, refreshment in spirit, reviving, renewing, redeeming. His body was broken so that we might be made whole. His blood shed so that life might flow within us. The table is prepared. The meal is ready. Jesus is here. Come now and celebrate the feast. Lord Jesus Christ, we gather here not at your command, but at your invitation. Not as servants, but as friends. Not out of duty, but in grateful response. We come in memory and also in joyful celebration, solemnly remembering the past and also jubilantly anticipating the future. We come then in faith, asking that through touching this moment, you will touch every moment with your gracious love and living presence. Amen. And let's come before God in prayer, and this is where we will use the response. Lord Jesus Christ, as we recall how you broke bread and poured out wine, so we remember also your dealings with us across the years, the way you loved us before we even knew you, called us to be your disciples, cleansed us by your grace, and nurtured us day after day by your love. Gracious Saviour, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, receive our praise. Lord Jesus Christ, as we look forward to our promised meeting with you face to face and sharing with you in your Father's kingdom, so we look forward to all you will yet do in our lives, the faith to be deepened, the fellowship to be shared, the service to offer, and the experiences still to unfold. Gracious Saviour, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, receive our praise. Lord Jesus Christ, as we eat and drink together, sharing bread and wine, we recognize you are here now, speaking your word, displaying your love, nourishing our souls, and imparting life in all its fullness. Gracious Saviour, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, receive our praise. For this table and all it represents, for its testimony that eternity itself is in your hands, that nowhere and no one is beyond your grace, that nothing in heaven or on earth is able to separate us from your love. Lord, we bring you our joyful worship and heartfelt adoration, celebrating this feast with thanksgiving. Gracious Saviour, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, receive our praise. Gracious God, there is so much wrong in our lives, so much that grieves and frustrates us. We feel unworthy of your love, even sometimes beyond forgiveness, for we go on making the same mistakes day after day, week after week, year after year. Yet you assure us through bread and wine that you do not want us to be burdened by guilt or crushed by the weight of our many mistakes. We are reminded in Christ that you want us to feel loved, valued, and accepted for who we are, forgiven and restored, set free to celebrate life in all its fullness. So then we come, conscious of our weakness acknowledging our faults, and above all, rejoicing in your grace, through which we know ourselves to be your people, your children, chosen and precious and loved in your sight. Receive our thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's say Lamb of God together. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. While they were eating together, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it before handing it to his disciples with the words, "Take and eat, for this is my body." Then he took a cup. And after giving thanks, he passed it to them, saying, "Drink from this, each one of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, to make possible forgiveness for all." As we distribute first the bread and the wine, I would encourage you, if you're comfortable to do so, to hold on to your piece of bread until we all have been fed, and then hold on to your cup of wine until we have all received. Eat this bread and let the love of God fill every one of us. You all know that sound. It means it's 12 o'clock. And just as the Holy Spirit interrupted Peter's sermon, so I believe the Holy Spirit is interrupting us. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, but you can carry on serving while we say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Drink this wine and let the grace of God engulf us. May the broken Christ, the poured out Christ, strengthen us in body, enrich us in mind, and nurture us in spirit. And let us share the peace with one another, especially with somebody we don't know. Let's share the peace. Peace be with you, David. Peace be with you, Kathy. Peace be with you. 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 I'll share the peace with everyone else as we're leaving. But now let us sing our closing hymn, a wonderful, lively one. It's hymn 122, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing, hymn 122. And just before we sing it, I should share the sad news that Robert Allen's father, Robert Allen Sr., died on Monday. The funeral is not until a week on Tuesday. But please hold Robert and all the family in your prayers. Now let us sing hymn 122, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. Please remain standing while the elements are carried out. And just before the benediction, could I ask you, anyone who has not already completed our questionnaire, our review at the back of the church, please complete them and leave them in the church today. We really need to have them back by Wednesday's Kirk session meeting. I mentioned them before Christmas, but in all the busyness of Christmas, it kind of got lost. But please, if you could manage to quickly fill out one of these before you leave church today, we'd be very grateful. As we go out into the world, may every single one of us know that God has no favorites, that he sees every single one of us as his beloved child, and he is pleased with every single one of us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each and every one of us, those we love, those who love us, and those we struggle to love, today and forevermore.